This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, everyone, to another bonus spotlight episode. It's pretty late over here right now, so we'll try to keep these announcements short and to the point so we can get to learning about Capers Covert, a new supplement for the Capers RPG by Craig Campbell that is kickstarting right now and has already funded as of this episode releasing. So let's get right into these announcements. First up, this will be the second to last notice that we are at the tail end of our review drive. We only need 4 more reviews, only 4, to hit that 50 review mark. If we hit that mark by Monday, then we'll be commissioning a brand new t-shirt for our merch store featuring the Ghost Shanks To Go crew from our Inspectors episode, series 19.3, if you want to look that up. We've been brainstorming and have a really great idea in mind for the shirt, so hopefully we can get there soon so we can put that plan into action. Every review does help us out a ton, and the more we get, the more chances we'll have for more listeners to listen to the show. And more listeners means a bigger community to share all the character creation goodness with. So please help us out and leave us a review on iTunes. It would be greatly appreciated. Our last announcement for today is that next week's normal episode would have been a character evolution cast episode, but due to scheduling issues, we had to move that back by a week so we could record it and edit it. Thankfully, there are 5 Mondays in September, so this works out fine for our schedule. Instead, you'll be able to hear another great spotlight episode for another fantastic game that is kickstarting right now. So, without further ado, and all of that said, let's get on with the show. Enjoy! Welcome to a special bonus episode of Character Creation Spotlight, everyone. In this bonus segment, we will be shining the light on some current or up-and-coming games to keep an eye out for. I'm your host, Ryan, and today we are welcoming Craig Campbell from Nurburger Games to talk about Capers and the upcoming Kickstarter for Capers Covert, which is actually kickstarting right now as we release this episode.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so welcome to Character Creation Spotlight, Craig. It's really great to have you here.
Thanks. It's great to be here. We've talked a little bit in the past about me stopping by, and we finally made it happen. So, yay
absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely. So could we start off with, first, could you tell us a bit about yourself and what sort of projects you have going on right now?
Sure. My name's Craig Campbell. I'm the owner and lead designer at Nurburger Games, and previous to getting Nurburger Games started, I did a handful of freelancing for Wizards, a little bit for Paizo, Privateer, a few other places, and a few years back, I decided, like, hey, I can make a game, right? And So I made a game and kickstarted it, and it did all right, Murders and Acquisitions. Mm-hmm. And then because I'm a sucker, I decided, well, that was fun and ate up a lot of time and was, stressful and worrisome. I'll do it again. And So I did Capers, which is the game I guess we'll be talking a little more about today. And then I also did a little game a little while back called Die Laughing. Mm-hmm. And now I'm also doing supplements for Capers. So kind of working on that. We had Capers Noir came out just earlier this year. Capers mm-hmm. Covert we're going to talk about here. I'm planning to do at least one other supplement beyond Covert. So that's as far as like what projects are going on right now. That's really it. I'm kind of focused on a game line, which is not something mm-hmm. I was expecting to do when I started yeah. Capers, because I figured I'll just do a game book that'll be like a self-contained game and it'll be good to go. And then I'll publish that and we're good to go. And then people were saying like, well, hey, are you going to do supplements? Are you going to do more stuff? Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, okay. So now I have to think about this. And that's where that went. So it turned into that, and it's turned out to be a viable thing for me to do, even for a very small scale kind of game, mm-hmm. small company. But here we are.
That's very cool. I like that a lot. Well, and thank you so much for being here. So since this is the abridged version of our normal format, we will just be sticking to the highlights of the system with a special focus on character creation. So without further ado, how about we find out what this game is all about?
Sure.
What's in a game?
All right. So Capers, originally funded on Kickstarter in April of 2018, right?
Yes.
So can you tell us a bit about Capers?
Yeah, it's a superpowered game of gangsters in the Roaring Twenties. So basically, you can play gangster type characters or law enforcement characters, or technically, I suppose you can play anybody you want, but that's the game is really built around, the struggle between the criminal element and law enforcement, during the Prohibition era in the United States. So an era of unprecedented growth in organized crime, of a government and government agencies that were in no way prepared to deal with it. And mm-hmm. then also their superpowers. Oh. So and so you can play characters with superpowers or not. Although most people tend to play the characters with the superpowers just because that's more fun, I think, me personally. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so the game is kind of built around that that era and sort of the romanticized version of that era, which is to say, you know, in real life, these criminals were terrible, terrible people, and mm-hmm. they murdered and stole and all this. And many of them got killed or went to prison or whatever. Yeah. But we're playing the movie version of these characters. And then, the game itself uses, and this will be handy to know for the purposes of character creation discussion, mm-hmm. The game uses a deck of playing cards rather than dice mechanic. So everybody, including the GM, has their own deck of playing cards, typical kind of poker-style deck, 52 cards plus two jokers, one that's the good joker and one that's the bad joker.
Oh.
And so in the game, rather than rolling, individual dice, you're flipping cards one at a time, and you will have potentially multiple cards to flip, and you flip one, and like the card that you flip, the pip value of the card determines success versus failure. So two, three, four, all the way up to ace high. And then the suit of the card determines the degree of that success or failure, whatever it may be. And it's based on suit. Clubs is the worst, alphabetically up to spades. Spades is always the best. So you could flip like a king of clubs, which is a very high card, most likely a success, but it's going to be clubs, which is the worst suit. So it's going to come with a complication. So do you stick with that card, or do you gamble and flip another card?
Oh, interesting.
Hoping to get a high card again, but with a better suit.
Yeah.
And potentially fail when you do that. So every trait check is kind of like a little press your luck gambling game. So that's important to know. So the traits are, the trait scores, when we get to them, we talk about them, are like 1, 2, 3, like that's your card count. That's how many cards you have to flip.
Oh, interesting. That's very cool. I like that a lot. So no dice in this game.
Not a single die.
That's awesome. Get rid of those D20s, people.
Yeah, it's all cards. You're going to be screaming for aces and good jokers rather than 20s.
Oh, that's really cool. So we covered the materials, what we need to play this game. What sort of characters, specifically, can you make in the base game? And are there any expanded options in this covert supplement?
Yeah, the base conceit of the game is criminal element versus law enforcement. So you mm-hmm. could be playing criminals. So, you know, likely members of organized crime, whether that be kind of lower tier types, you could be playing upper tier. You can play, you know, you can play a campaign where you progress all the way up. You might have like, you know, you get bodyguards and thugs and shooters and cleaners, businessmen, business people, you know, the yep. people that's going to take care of business, like face people that mm-hmm. are going to, you know, threaten you into compliance.
Oh, interesting.
So yeah, all of the archetypes for, you know, your gangster types. Mm-hmm. And then in law enforcement, of course, you can go as simple as like local police and sheriffs and things like that, even vigilantes, if that's the direction you want to go, all the way up to like Bureau of Investigation or DOJ agents.
Oh, wow.
And there's, you know, there's no inherent mechanical advantage to being any one of those things, like other than you just kind of play it out in game. Like if you know, mm-hmm. a Bureau of Investigation agent has better access to things and clearance and so forth.
That makes sense.
But you might be playing like a task force that's mm-hmm. that's out to stop a particular gangster or bring down a particular criminal organization. And technically, and I've heard people talk about it too, it's like, you know, if you want to just play regular people that are embroiled in all of this, you can do that too. There's nothing that says it can't just be regular everyday folks that happen to get caught up in this world.
Well, that's very cool.
In Capers Covert, well, a bit of explanation. What I did with the supplements was each one so far, at least, you know, the whole two that there's been, they provide, you know, more material, more player options, more GM tools and things like that. But then they also progress the storyline. And so the in Capers Noir, which just came out, that takes the storyline to the 40s and turns the game into, rather than like a prohibition shoot 'em up game, it becomes a crime noir kind of mystery thriller kind of thing with rules for investigations and so forth. And then in Capers Covert, we take it to the 60s. And the theme of Capers Covert is like classic James Bond style 60s super spies and super villains.
I like that.
So you're playing characters that are, you know, you're not setting your, if you're playing the criminal element, you're not setting your sights on just controlling the city. Like, you know, you're looking to influence worldwide markets and take over corporations and make yourself ultra rich and all that sort of thing.
Oh yeah.
And then if you're law enforcement, you're an agent for, an organization called Oracle, which is the, you know, the MI6 or uncle of the world.
That's very cool. I love that you're kind of jumping decades ahead in each supplement, going over completely interesting and new like crime genres. I like that a lot.
It's been a lot of fun looking for like, you know, like when I started to progress it forward, it was a question of like, okay, well, what subgenres of crime drama are there, and finding like, okay, where's the right place to put that? Like what decade is, you know, the right spot for it, and finding that stuff. So I've been lucky with like the 40s, like certainly film noir is kind of a big deal in the 40s and 50s. And then by the 60s, that's when we've got, you know, the original James Bond, Sean Connery popping up, and you start, you know, there's shows like Mission Impossible and Man from U.N.C.L.E. and all that. And the super spy genre starts to become a thing in the wake of the Cold War.
That makes sense. That's very awesome. I like that a lot. So briefly, can we go over the steps that a player needs to take to actually create characters in Capers or any of these supplements?
Sure. It's actually pretty straightforward. It's a point, or not a point build. It's like a a selection build. Like you start with a certain array of traits, and that builds a lot of what you're doing. In Capers, you've got six traits, charisma, agility, perception, expertise, resilience, and strength. And they all sound like kind of what they are. If you know your way around RPGs, you know, expertise is your smarts, your brain power.
Yeah.
And then resilience is kind of physical resilience. When you start, you have a one, a three, and then everything else is two. So one of your traits gets ranked out as a one, which means you only flip one card. Mm-hmm. And then one of the traits gets ranked as a three, and all the rest are twos.
Okay.
And then you'll have a series of skills that you choose to go with that. And skills are kind of more focused areas of expertise, things that you're particularly good at. You know, you might, there's skills for acrobatics, guns, insight. There's like 18 skills in the game. Mm. And the number of skills that you get is based in part on your expertise. So every trade actually plays into another thing.
Okay.
So whatever you dump stat, you will actually suffer a little something for dump statting that. So you'll pick your skills and you'll have like, you know, 3, 4, 5 skills to start with. You can always gain more.
Oh, cool.
As play progresses. And then you have a handful of kind of generated scores that you've got a body score, which is like effectively your armor class. It's the score that's required. It's the target score that's required to hit you. You know, 8, 9, 10 jack.
Oh, okay.
And then you have a mind score, and that's also, and both of these are generated from like your agility and your perception.
Mm-hmm.
And then your hits is what it sounds like. You know, your physical health, your ability to withstand getting knocked around and shot at.
Mm-hmm.
And that's generated from, in part, from your resilience and your charisma.
Okay.
And then you've got a, you know, there's a speed rating, and then everybody also, every character also has a pool of points that's a resource that you spend, or you gain and spend them. They're called Moxie.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use them for a variety of things. Some of them are kind of mechanically oriented, like gaining an extra card. Some of them are narrative oriented, like being able to shape the narrative in some small way.
Mm-hmm.
To give yourself a little perk in an encounter.
Okay.
And so you gain those points and spend them as you go. You just start with 3, and you can have as many as 5 at a given time.
Oh, very cool.
And then you've got you know, things like, you know, your equipment and all that, and then powers, and you can start with like 1 or 2 powers.
Oh, very nice.
There are more powerful, you know, there are major powers which are bigger and broader and they do more things, and then there are minor powers which are a little more specific, and they tend to do very focused things. So mm-hmm. you can gain more of those because they're narrow in their focus. But then you've also got kind of a series of 3 what I refer to as anchors. They're your character anchors, like the 3 things that are, they're kind of role playing oriented. You have got an identity that you choose, and that's like the core of who your character is. So once you know what your what your concept of for the character is, you start to figure out the history a little bit. You start to, like, maybe their power might tie into their identity a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So you select that. You also have, every character has a virtue and a vice.
Okay.
So you have, your virtue is the one thing that you hold most dear, that you will not violate. So, like, mm-hmm. you know, even the worst criminals have, like, you know, they love their family.
Yeah.
And will always protect their family, for example. Or, and then you have a vice, like even the best cop might be in this day and age, an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
and so you find yourself indulging in your vice, and you can gain Moxie back by playing according to those anchors.
Oh, very cool.
As well as other things. There's other ways to gain Moxie as well. But when you suffer for your anchors
mm-hmm.
or when you play them appropriately,
yeah,
you'll regain Moxie.
Oh, that's very cool. Now, is there anything special that the different archetypes do at all? Or is it like kind of a like an example framework of, like, if you're going to be the FBI agent, here's kind of the skills they would have and that sort of stuff?
When you pick your identity, virtue, and vice, they are wholly role-playing guides.
Okay.
And so it's not like, you know, like backgrounds in D&D where you pick a background and you get a little couple things with it. You still have free range to pick whatever you want. Now, that said, there's certain things that probably don't go together.
Yeah.
you know, like one of the identities is, I think it's called villain. You know, it's like if you're playing a law enforcement officer, the villain is probably not the right the identity for you, because that's the character that kind of revels in wrongdoing.
Mm.
You know, so you probably are better off, better suited with a law enforcement officer as having, you know, a guardian type or somebody that's an autocrat who wants to kind of tightly control everything.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of variation that you can happen in there. And when you throw in a virtue and a vice, you know, you can throw everything.
That's
like throw a monkey wrench into everything, because you could have like the cleanest cop ever, but they love to gamble.
Yeah.
And that just causes them problems. They can't resist a good bat.
Oh, absolutely. That's cool. I like that a lot. So Capers Covert adds the super spy genre to the game. What other cool things do we get with the Capers Covert supplement?
Well, with Covert, one of the character creation things, like just mentioned, the anchors, instead of a vice in Capers Covert, you have a fatal flaw, which is sort of the it's kind of intended to be like it's something that your enemies can exploit. Mm-hmm. Something that you, it's kind of a vice in that it's something that you kind of go, you know, you indulge in, but it's also something that your enemies can exploit if they figure out what it is. And mm-hmm. it's intended to sort of mimic the idea that, you know, James Bond, if he has a fatal flaw, it's the ladies, right?
Yeah.
You know, he gets caught up. He's always on the job, but he does kind of get caught up with his flings. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, your villain, the classic, you know, Bond villain style fatal flaw is like the fact that they're really prideful. And they'll talk too much, you know. Austin Powers makes fun of the monologue, you know. Incredibles makes fun of monologuing, where the villain gives away what they're doing. So like that could be a fatal flaw for a criminal character, is that you're obsessed with your own capability,
yeah.
And you'll take any opportunity you can to kind of show off, mm-hmm. and then your adversaries can exploit that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I like that a lot.
And then you've got, you know, like the other supplements, you've got, there's new rules expansions in there. And for Capers Covert in particular, the big chunk of it is in chase rules. So you've got vehicle chases and combats.
Ooh.
Because what's a good James Bond story or a, you know, super spy story without a car chase?
Mm-hmm.
There's rules for gadgets.
Ooh, yes.
As there should be.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, like your powers are still kind of cooler than your gadgets.
Mm-hmm.
But gadgets are like, you know, they're in the game world, they're written to be like scientists are coming up with these things and gadgeteers are coming up with these things because people with powers have been around for a few decades now and they need a way to be able to combat them, to deal with them. Mm-hmm. So they've developed this technology that allows them to do these things. And of course, law enforcement and the criminal element latch onto them. So mm-hmm. even, you know, as a criminal character, you could have gadgets as well. And then there's some new powers and there's a bunch of GM tools. In Capers Covert, the primary backdrop that's set up for you is Las Vegas.
Okay.
With a full write-up on Las Vegas, and then several smaller write-ups just kind of giving you enough information to utilize those of some international cities. This is the first time I actually go outside of the United States.
Oh, cool.
With Capers, because, you know, super spy stories, they travel to Rome, Rio mm-hmm. de Janeiro, you know, mm-hmm. Marrakesh,
yeah,
stuff like that. So we include some information on a variety of cities around the world where your characters might be whisked away to steal some technology or to track down some supervillains.
Yeah, that's very cool. I like that. My mind is going right now with all the cool possibilities that you can do with this. And I'm a big fan of the super spy genre and what you can do with it in role playing.
Yeah. And it's, I've been having a lot of fun with hitting these subgenres and then, you know, like seeing how do those things interact with superpowers?
Yeah.
You know, because superpowers tends to be, most of your superpower games are, you know, classic supers kind of stories where you've mm-hmm. got heroes and villains, and that's kind of what the focus is. Where, like in this case, like, you know, with my games, it's noir stuff, and so it's mysteries. Like, how does somebody with superpowers solve a mystery?
Mm-hmm.
With Covert, it's like, well, what does somebody with superpowers do to combat or to deal with gadgets or to do infiltration kind of things, espionage, vehicle mm-hmm. car chases and all that sort of thing. Like if you've got enhanced senses, like that can kind of take the place of some of the technology that might be used by a super spy
mm-hmm.
For surveillance and the like. So it just becomes another tool that your character has access to.
Very cool. Yeah. There are so many things that I love that you're saying about this game, and I'm actually really excited about it. So the Kickstarter, which should have just launched recently, is there anything interesting from the Kickstarter for like backer levels or possible stretch goals that you can divulge to us?
Well, I've kind of described some of the stuff that will ultimately be stretch goals, because the way I usually do the Kickstarters is I start with like, what's the thinnest version of that book that I can make that I feel like is a viable product.
Yeah.
And so that's what I kind of shoot for to start with. And then I fill out with stretch goals, and that makes the book bigger. But like I've done with the past Capers Kickstarters, is there's a backer level that allows you to create an NPC, what I call a regular Joe or Jane, which is to say a character that is not a cop or a law enforcement type, and is not a criminal. Because the world has regular people and people in other professions and so forth who might have superpowers. So, that's a slightly higher backer level. And then there's another backer level. I've done this with, the previous ones as well, where there's, in the middle of the book, there's a little comic, like a couple page comic that tells a little bit of a story about, you know, kind of themed in this case for super spies. And for this one, the backer level is called Hench Person. And if you take it at that level, you get like all the stuff, right? You get everything. Plus you also get your likeness featured as a hench person who gets killed or subdued, by the heroes, by the super spies in the comic.
Oh, very cool.
So you'll have your own panel where you're getting punched out or getting shot at or getting lasered or something.
Oh, that's really fun. That's awesome.
And you never know what else might come along. The Kickstarter will run for 3 weeks. So, I've been occasionally convinced to try other things as well. You know, Capers actually kind of went into, I did some maps and paper minis to go along with it because of how well the Kickstarter did. And I kind of added that later where I had not initially planned to do that.
Okay.
So who knows if the Kickstarter gets really big, maybe there'll be something else.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds
listeners,
awesome.
Listeners, if the Kickstarter does well.
Awesome. Well, before we go, is there anything else that you want to talk about with Capers or Capers Covert?
Oh, I think that about covers what's going on with all of that. There's always a little bit of support material that I put together for that goes along with the book proper. In for Noir and then also now for Capers Covert as well. There'll be, a character sheet that's themed specifically for Covert. So you've got spots for your gadgets and your vehicle and everything. And there'll be an adventure as well.
Oh, cool.
So you have an example of like what kind of an adventure you might play with this particular game. Those will be PDFs that come alongside everything.
Okay. Very cool. Well, thank you so much for joining me to talk about Capers and Capers Covert, Craig. This was really great.
Thank you, Ryan, for having me. It's been a while since we've talked, and I have thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. Could you remind everyone where they can find you online?
Sure. Right now you can obviously find the Kickstarter at Kickstarter.com. We'll have a link in the show notes. I would think, yes.
Yep.
And my website is nerdburgergames.com. There's links there to all sorts of things, including a Discord where we've got a lot of really cool people and all sorts of fun discussions that go on there. It's a good place to find out about playtesting opportunities. I go to the Discord first when I'm looking for playtesters.
Oh, cool.
You can get other game stuff at drivethrurpg.com, but don't do that right now unless you want like the old games. If you want anything Capers, go to the Kickstarter, because you can get Capers and Capers Noir as part of the Kickstarter.
Oh, very cool.
And then I'm at Nerdburger Craig on Twitter.
Very cool. I like that. Thank you so much, Craig. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We will see you next week. Bye.
Sounds good. Bye.
Character Creation Spotlight, like Character Creation Cast, is a production of the One Shot Podcast Network and can be found online at www.charactercreationcast.com. Head to the website to get more information on our hosts and guests, or even find some of our character sheets. Character Creation Cast can be found on Twitter at CreationCast. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Bolter, and I can be found on Twitter at Lord Neptune. Our other host, Amelia Antrim, can be found on Twitter at Ginger Reckoning. Music for this episode is used with a Creative Commons license or with permission from the podcast it originated from. Further information can be found within the show notes. This episode was edited by Ryan Bolter. Further information for the game systems used and today's guests can also be found in the show notes. Thanks for joining us, and remember, we find that the best part of any role-playing game is character creation. So go out there and create some amazing people. We will see you next time.
Now we gotta read some show blurbs.
Show blurbs.
Show blurbs.
Show blurbs.
Show blurbs. Character Creation Cast is hosted by the One Shot Podcast Network. If you enjoyed our show, visit oneshotpodcast.com, where you'll find other great shows like The Broadswords.
The Broadswords is an all-woman D&D podcast focused on drama, roleplay, and subverting stereotypes. Join the Broads as they unravel the mystery of Snowy Rashomon, a land ruled by witches and steeped in superstition. Berserkers reign and spirits roam the frozen wastes. Ylaris, Keela, Mipri all have their own reasons for journeying north, but they soon find they have something in common. They are pawns in a divine plot.
In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjack's role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.